Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Well, let's read verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to preach this morning on the habit of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God is a recognition that God, in His goodness and faithfulness, has provided for us and cared for us both physically and spiritually. It's a recognition that we are totally dependent upon Him for all things, that all that we have and all that we are and all that we possess have come from God. You know, the only real Christian holy day set aside and celebrated in America is Thanksgiving Day. It was instituted back, now there were several days that were where they had resolved for Thanksgiving Day, but in 1789, September 25th, Congress unanimously approved a resolution asking George Washington, the then president, to proclaim a national day of thanksgiving. Said day of thanksgiving resolved that a joint committee of both houses be directed to wait upon the President of the United States to request that he recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a constitution of government for their safety and happiness. You know what George Washington proclaimed in response to that resolution? October the 3rd, 1789. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, now therefore I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these United States, that we may all unite unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country. And then he goes on. Isn't that interesting? The day of thanksgiving was set aside to offer praise and prayer to Almighty God in recognition of all of His benefits. You know, I don't think that we ought to limit ourselves to one day a year to remember and celebrate God's goodness toward us. In fact, the verses that we read there in Ephesians 5 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 clearly teach that the habit and the pattern of consistent thanksgiving to God should be practiced in all circumstances every day of our lives. Do you know that to be unthankful, a failure to be thankful to God, is a mark of reprobation, a mark of those who are void of judgment, who have no spiritual discernment? Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now notice something. What began with unthankfulness, failing to recognize the goodness and provision of God, degenerated into idolatry and homosexuality. You go on through this, and all sorts of depravity started by not thanking God. So it must be pretty important when He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, what is the purpose of habitual thanksgiving? Why are those verses written there? Well, number one, the primary purpose of the habit of daily thanksgiving is to acknowledge the goodness and the mercy of God in your daily life. Psalm 136 in verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Is God good? Give thanks on a day-to-day basis. You know, a lot of times when people think of habits, they always think of bad habits. But you know, there's some good habits that ought to be incorporated into our lives. Every time that we sit down to eat, it should be a time of reflection and remembrance. Man, God's been good to me today. Look at what He's provided for my family. The food that He's given to nourish our bodies, to sustain us for another day. Boy, God's good. To give me the health to eat this. The strength to go out and earn a living so that I can put it on the table for my family. Isn't God good that He gave me a wife who prepared this? And children that are healthy enough that they can eat it goes far beyond than just sitting down and saying, bless this mess. I mean, it's the way hey, God has blessed us every day. We ought to thank Him for His goodness. Shouldn't just be a ritual. Another purpose. To daily offer praise and thanksgiving to God means that you've obeyed the inspired Word of God. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. You want to know what the will of God is for your life? Experience habitual thanksgiving. Consistently, every day, is to obey God's Word to walk in His will, and that's how you prove your love for Him. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. If you're born of God, His commandments are not grievous. So here's a command everybody here can obey. We've already seen, yes, God's good. God says, so give thanks. You, every one of you here can do that. Every one of you can walk in the will of God by habitually giving thanks, consistently praising His name on a day-to-day basis. It magnifies, it glorifies God when we're thankful. Psalms chapter 50, I'll read it. Verse 14 and 23 says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Purpose behind this command, in all things give thanks, it's the will of God, and when we obey that, it glorifies Him. Hebrews 13:15 says, but by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Glorifies the Lord. Because it's in conjunction with obeying His will. And then another purpose of habitual thanksgiving. It reminds us daily of our total and entire dependence upon God for life, for breath, for all things. Acts 17, verse 25 and 28, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, for in Him we live and move and have our being. When you get up tomorrow morning, can you thank God for the breath that you drew during the night? You didn't even know you were breathing because you were sleeping. You really don't know nothing when you're sleeping, but God was keeping you alive. Shouldn't you give Him thanks for that? Gives all to all life and breath. Every day you have, it comes from God. Every possession you have, every measure of health you have. When you thank God for all of that, every day of your life, you're saying in essence, Lord, I recognize I'm entirely dependent on You. Without You, I'm nothing. Without You upholding my life, without You giving me breath, without You giving me strength, I'd die. The very fact that you're here today is a testimony to God's goodness towards you. Even if you're lost, you ought to be thanking God that you're not in hell right now, because that's what you deserve. And then another purpose. Habitual thanksgiving serves to humble us as we acknowledge the source of all our blessings and bounty. God is our supreme benefactor. There are no self-made men. Anything you have, anything that you are that's good and profitable, trace it back to its true source. It's God. When you really understand that, it'll bring humility into your life, realizing that without Him, you could do nothing and be nothing. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. You know, this is one of the bad things in America today. So much pride. in men's accomplishments and so little humility and thanksgiving to God, who it really belongs to. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. God knew that the natural inclination of man is to take credit for everything he's done. He says there in verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." And he talks about how he led them in the wilderness, how he gave them water, how he fed them. In verse 17, "And thou say in thine heart, My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." How prone we are to be like the people of Israel. Got full bellies and a nice house. A lot of people in America are just prone to say, "Man, look at all that I've got by my own power, by my own initiative, my own ambition." It's good to be ambitious, but it's important that you recognize only God is the one that enables you to get what you have. And that ought to bring humility into your heart and into your life. Now, secondly, let's consider some occasions for thanksgiving. That's a pretty wide spectrum, the extent of the occasions for thanksgiving. In our text, it says, "In everything give thanks. For this is the..." Notice it doesn't say, now, like, I don't always give thanks to God. I don't give thanks for sickness, but I can give thanks to him in sickness. You understand what I'm saying? When there's evil, I don't give thanks to God for evil. But in the midst of it, I know that he's working it all out. It says, "In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you." What's he saying? In all circumstances of life, all things pleasant, all things painful, for the abundance as well as for the afflictions, for the daily demonstrations of God's kindness, as well as the difficulties that he allows and permits in our lives. In everything give thanks. Pretty wide scope, isn't it? When you can do that from your heart, you're really practicing what Romans 8 is all about. It's something that you've come to know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are thee called according to his purpose. When that verse is an applied reality in your heart, no matter what the circumstances, you can thank God. That he's in control, that he knows what he's doing, that he cares for your soul, that he's with you, and that he's working everything for your good. He says he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1:11. What can you thank God for today? Well, you can thank God daily for the salvation of your unworthy and undeserving soul. You know, I fear that sometimes we don't really consider what a mighty and miracle that God has done in giving to us eternal life through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think we just take that for granted. We've been saved so long that we don't just stop and say, "Thank you, Lord. I was blind, but now I see. I was afflicted by leprosy, but now I'm made whole. I was deaf, but now I hear. I was polluted and in sin, but now I'm cleansed and made whole and on my way to heaven." Romans 6, verse 17 and 18 says, "But God be thanked that ye were," past tense, "the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." I thank God that 17 or 18 years ago, in fact, next Sunday will be the anniversary of the day that the Lord saved me. I don't know what day it was. I know it was a Sunday after Thanksgiving. That Sunday afternoon, after I had went to church, it was the first time I'd ever been in a Baptist church. That Sunday afternoon, the Lord saved me. 18 years ago. And how thankful I am that He rolled that burden of sin and guilt and condemnation off of me and gave me life eternal. Young people, let me tell you something. The pleasures of this world and all that it affords cannot even begin to measure up to what life in Jesus Christ is and how wonderful it is to know that you're saved. To be able to close your eyes at night and go to sleep peacefully knowing that if you were to die, that you'd go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever, that all your sins have been put away and paid for, that you'll never suffer in hell. Are you thankful that you're saved? When was the last time you just said, "Lord, thank you for saving me, for changing my heart"? Another occasion of thanksgiving, I think. Thank God if He's been pleased to add you to His kind of church. I praise the Lord that I belong to a Baptist church, the kind that the Lord Jesus Christ established during His earthly ministry, the kind that He gave the Great Commission to. I am thankful unto God that He has called me, appointed me, and placed me as a member of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Thank God for your church. Thank Him for the people that make up that body that you belong to. Whether they be young, whether they be old, male or female, God's called us together in one body and united us with one purpose: to glorify His name in obedience to the Great Commission. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul told the church at Thessalonica, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. What a blessing it is to be a member of one of the Lord's churches, to dwell together with the brethren in harmony, to not be fussing and fighting and bickering and arguing, but to come together to worship and exalt the name of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to be a part of that. I love you. As children of God and members of this body, and I'm thankful that I'm part of this congregation. And then thank God for all the spiritual blessings and privileges He's afforded you with as His sons and daughters. Hey, Aaron, what if you didn't have any money and you were just dressed in rags? You didn't have no food, no shoes on your feet, no family, and somebody would come and say, Aaron Ross, you come with me. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to give you clothes. I'm going to make sure you're well fed. I'm going to write you into my family. I'm going to give you all my possessions. I'm going to make life completely comfortable for you. Wouldn't you be thankful that someone took you out of that terrible condition and brought you into their family and took care of you and promised to provide for you? Hey, that's what God's done with His children. We were orphans, undone, and He brought us into His family. He clothed us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He's written us into His inheritance, which is glory forevermore. He's provided for all of our needs. Man, shouldn't we be thankful? He's given you a book that you can read and be instructed by. Hey, young ladies, you want to know how to honor God? You want to know what kind of man to marry? Read the book. Young couples, young families, you want to know how to raise your family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? It's right there in the book. Want to know how to be fruitful? It's in the Word. You want to know what's right? Right there it is. He's given it to you. Not only that, but if you're saved, He's given you a personal teacher, given you the Holy Spirit to dwell within, to make you hunger for the Word. And then when you read it, to learn what it says. You know, Jesus said this in John 11:41, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. Aren't you thankful God hears your prayers? That He acknowledges you when you talk to Him? Aren't you thankful that God saves sinners? Well, to rejoice in that and thank. Jesus said in John 10:21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. Hey, parents, isn't it a glorious thing when you see your children truly saved and walking in the principles of the Word of God? And then see your grandchildren obeying the truth of the Word and hungering for the things of God. Man, lift up your voice in praise. Give thanks to God for all His spiritual blessings. You want another occasion for thanksgiving? Thank God for the people He's brought into your life to make it what it is today. Paul said in Philippians 1:3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I'm thankful for my mom and dad. I'm thankful for my wife. You would be too if you knew what she had to put up with. I'm thankful for my children, that I can be a part of their lives and teach them the Word of God. I'm thankful for my friends. I think back on my life and I'm thankful for those teachers that made an impact upon me, for those coaches that took time to instruct me, for Sunday school teachers after I was saved who taught me the truth of the Word of God. I thank God for my pastor who taught me the principles of the Word of God. And thank God for the people He's brought into your life. Husbands, give thanks to God for your wife. Wife, give thanks to God for the husband He's given you. We got many occasions to be thankful. You know, you can thank God for all His temporal provisions and mercies. I doubt if anybody's going to be hungry today in this congregation. You're probably going to eat something decent this afternoon, aren't you? Even if it's beans and cornbread, be thankful for. I love beans and cornbread. I could eat it every day, but my family wouldn't like it too well if I did. Be thankful unto God. My wife, when I told her, she said, are you going to be preaching on your Thanksgiving sermon? She said, are you going to be telling everybody you're thankful for indoor showers and plumbing and all that again? She gets embarrassed when I tell her. But really, thank God for all the provisions and conveniences that He's blessed you with. Shouldn't you be thankful? And then thank God even for the trials and the afflictions and the chastisements, because God's using all that to make you a better person, to make you a better Christian. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more eternal and exceeding weight of glory. James 1, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations, for the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. You need to thank God during the hard times, because you know that God cares for your soul, that He hasn't forsaken you, and that He's blessing you. The worship most acceptable to God comes from a thankful and a cheerful heart. William Shakespeare said, God's goodness hath been great to thee. Let never day nor night unhallowed pass, but still remember what the Lord hath done. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's a purpose behind that habitual thanksgiving, and there are many occasions that ought to prompt thanksgiving from your heart. Now Wednesday night, since it's the eve of Thanksgiving Day, I'm going to finish this sermon And we're going to look at the value of thanksgiving, this habitual thanksgiving, and the cultivation of it. How do you cultivate this thankful heart? Now, I realize this sermon wasn't the most exciting, but it was instructive. And if you can take it and apply it and recognize every day of your life that you can be thankful to God. You say, but boy, I'll tell you what, there's times where I got real struggles and trials. You ought to be like the old black man. He said, blessed the Lord that it ain't no worse. And you know, that's one way of looking at it. Thank God that it's not as bad as it could be, even in the midst of real bad times. Because there's a whole lot of people in this world that are a lot worse off than you and I. May God give us grace to practice what's been preached.